This is a podcast from Seven Church, Bristol.
We were walking through town this morning to get here, just like a short walk, and we noticed that every shop that had like displays of clothes all had running gear in it. I don't know if anyone else noticed. And I was like, oh, it's January. It's the beginning of January now, isn't it? We are entering 2026, which feels a bit crazy. Anyway, I was wondering if any of you have ever wondered how you've ended up in a place. Like how you've ended up somewhere and you're like, how did I end up here? I've had a couple of those times, mostly to do with traveling, it seems. So I've done this, I'm ashamed to say, more than once, where I've been driving on the motorway back from Cornwall up to Bristol, thinking I'm coming off at the Cribbs entrance exit, but actually end up going pretty much to Wales, which is always really sad when I'm right at the end of a journey, and it has happened more than once, unfortunately. There was another time when we were traveling last year through Europe on train, and we were coming home, and we'd done loads of trains. We started really early in the morning, and we had got to London, and we just had our last connection at Paddington to make to get back to Bristol, and we had a tube to get there, and we got on, I think there were like six of us, got on this train, and we realised the tube was going the wrong direction, so we had to quickly get off and come back again. Honestly, I'm standing here going, I'm not sure how I ended up here speaking today either. So I wonder how many of you have ended up somewhere that you weren't expecting. We're going to look today at Esther, if you guessed by the title. She ended up in a complicated situation and had to make some tough decisions. But I'd really love to start the beginning of this new year looking at some of the messages that are in Esther, in the book of Esther. Now, I grew up in a Christian home, and so I had a lot of Bible stories told to me, and I read a lot as I was growing up. But Esther was one of those ones that somehow I didn't come across until I was 18, I think it was. And I read Esther, and I fell in love with the story. So much so that I named my youngest, Esther. We get a whoop. So I would encourage you, if you've not read the story of Esther, to read it. It's a brilliant book. It's really short, really easy to read. But one of the really bizarre things about the book of Esther is there is no mention of God specifically. So his name is not mentioned in it, which seems really weird, but you can see his fingerprint and his work throughout the whole thing. So I'm just going to briefly tell the beginning bit of the story of Esther. So there are four characters that we'll come across. The first one is King Xerxes. And he had a queen, and he got rid of her. So you can read in the story what happened there. But he decided to get rid of her. He had that power to do that. And then he decided he needed a new queen. So as he was king, he was able to look across the land and decide which of these beautiful women he would want. So he basically got all the women that were considered to be beautiful gathered up into his palace by various people, put into his palace. And then, kind of like a beauty pageant, I guess, he had them there and he decided which one he wanted to be queen. Now, if we look at Esther was one of those people. Esther was a Jew, although the people in the palace didn't know that. But Esther was one of these beautiful women that was gathered up. And then at Esther 2, verse 12 to 13. Oh, I was hoping my phone would stand. I'm going to read it from up here. Esther 2, 12 to 13. Before a young woman's turn came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the women. 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. And this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given to her to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. I love this idea. They had 12 months of pampering. Anyone here like 12 months of spa treatments, do you think? I think it's brilliant. They're going 6 months of this type of treatment, 6 months of that. I love the idea of them laying there with their face masks for 12 months before they went to see the king. And I was thinking about this and thinking about how God gives us times of preparation. Now, it might be amazing times like this where we get pampered. Sometimes it can be hard times. But he gives us times of preparation. They're different for different people and different times in our lives. But we do have these times where God prepares us. They might be natural, like a training course or your university course or an engagement. Or they might be those situations that just occur in life. So as I was thinking about this, I started thinking of characters in the Bible and whether they have preparation times. And I just kept thinking of more and more. And I'm sure you'll think of other ones that I don't mention here. But I just mentioned some different characters in the Bible that had a bit of a preparation time before something happened in their life with God. So Joseph, the one that had 12 brothers, he had a lot happen. But just after he'd been with Pharaoh, he then spent a period of time in jail. And so he had that time in jail before he ended up leading the country through the famine. And I wonder what God was doing in him. What work was he doing while he was preparing him for that time of leading the country? Sometimes I wonder if it's a bit of humility for Joseph, but I'm sure there were lots of things that he was doing. Another person was Moses. So Moses, after he left Egypt, he went to the land of Midian, where he got married, he became a shepherd. He was there for 40 years in Midian. And I wonder what that preparation time was before God met him with a burning bush and he went back to Pharaoh. And I wonder what it was that that God was doing. I'm sure that God was developing his character in that time. Nothing significant, apart from getting married, I guess. There weren't kind of big parts of the story that were happening in those 40 years. But I'm sure God was preparing him really well. And then, of course, the people of Israel, when Pharaoh let them go and they went to the promised land, they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. And I wonder what God was preparing them for the promised land. I mean, they definitely learned who God was and their reliance on him as well. Of course, Mary, just had Christmas, Mary and Joseph, Mary, she was pregnant. And so that is a kind of naturally occurring time of preparation. But I also think she must have had to really prepare herself for parenting God. I think that's a pretty mammoth task. We had a bit of fun last night talking about different ways that you might have to parent God and kind of putting Jesus on the naughty step. But, you know, actually, she had to deal with a human as well. So she was parenting him, and this was God as well. So Jesus as well had 40 days in the desert, in the wilderness, being tempted. And that was just before his ministry started. So all of these different Bible characters who had times of preparation before something significant was happening. And I'm sure you can think of many more as well. Now, these times of preparation that we have in our lives may be amazing times, like Esther had, where she was pampered and you feel like things are going well. I know for me, when I was 18 and I did my gap year and I went on a discipleship training course, I would feel like that was a really clear time of preparation for me. And actually it was one that I really enjoyed. It was hard work at times, but it was good. And there are other times where it can be a bit harder. And I know for some people, you know, feeling like you're in that desert for 40 years, it can feel really hard, but we know that God is doing a work in us. And sometimes it's good to kind of stop and think about what is it that God's doing in our lives? What's he preparing us? How's he preparing us? I was thinking back. I think sometimes it's quite hard to notice with those when you're in it and what it is that God's doing. It can just feel hard, but that kind of finding out what it is that he's doing can be a bit more tricky. But I was looking back on my life and thinking about some of the times when I think maybe God was preparing me for other things. And one of them I was thinking about was when I was kind of student age, Matt Redman released that song, Blessed Be Your Name. And I remember there was a lot of talk about singing it because it talks about, you know, saying to God, blessed be your name in the good times and in the hard times. And I remember people going, I'm not sure about whether I can sing the hard times when I'm not actually going through them, whether that's real or not. And I remember having that same kind of thought of, I feel like things are going quite well at the moment. Can I sing about blessing God's name even though I'm not in the reality of hard times? And I remember thinking, no, I want to do that now so that when the hard times come, then I can still know that I can sing that song. And I think that was a kind of stand and a moment as well. And another thing, I think that was a lot about kind of trusting God. And I think he's done lots over the years. I keep kind of going, can I have learned the lesson yet? But I keep on kind of having times where I feel like I need to trust him. And I was thinking about a missions trip that I did in Mexico when I was a teenager. And we left the end of the kind of 10 days there. And lots of people were leaving kind of spare clothes and things like that to give to the church that we were with. And just a bit of context, I had for the last, like for my teenage years, had a pair of green DMs that I loved and I wore all the time, and they were the most comfortable thing and they were amazing. I don't know if anyone's owned a pair of DMs that just feel like slippers outside, and I love them. And it got to the end of the week, and I felt like God was saying, I want you to leave those here. And I was like, I don't want to leave my green DMs here. And in the end, I kind of felt like actually God was saying, you need to leave them. And I was like, okay, maybe that's something then when I'm older, I'll be able to give away other things because I know that I could do it this time. And almost like a little kind of learning, a little bit of preparation. And I did. I took a photo as I left them and walked out the room. I was like overly dramatic as a 19-year-old, I think. However, for those observant people, you might have noticed my green DMs. I got given them for a birthday present a few years ago, which felt really lovely. So preparation. That God takes us through preparation times. And I think it's just good to think about that and be aware of that. And is this a time now as we enter 2026 that God is preparing you for something? Or maybe he has been preparing you for something. Because as I was getting ready for this talk, I had a verse that just kept coming back to me. And it's not an Esther verse, it's an Isaiah verse. And I just wonder if for some people, this is God speaking to you right now. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So this is my bit where I feel like God might be saying to someone here or some people here, actually you feel like you've been maybe in a desert preparation time and God's doing some new things. Maybe that point of you don't actually see it yet as well. But I just wanted to kind of leave that there as maybe God saying this, that he's been preparing you, or he is preparing you for something new that's going to spring up. And I think if that really resonates with you, it'd be great to pray with someone at the end. You can come find me or people around. We're going to have a bit of time and space at the end. So that'd be great. Okay, I think we should go back to the story of Esther. Now, the third character was Esther's uncle called Mordecai. Now, remember, Mordecai was a Jew. Esther was a Jew. They didn't know that Esther was in the palace. Mordecai actually raised Esther, and he was someone who was very loyal to the king. In fact, he heard of a murder plot against the king, revealed it to the people in the palace, and the king was saved. And the fourth character is called Haman. Now, Haman was the assistant to King Xerxes. He wasn't very nice in the story, and he decided he wanted everyone to bow down to him. And he didn't like the fact that Mordecai would not do this. So Haman decided he wanted to get rid of Mordecai. In fact, he would get rid of the Jews in general, get rid of the whole people group. So Mordecai put on sackcloth and ashes and wailed at the palace gate. Sometimes I wish that I could do that sort of thing. If I'm feeling cross about something, make it really obvious to everyone. But I love that he's out there. He's distraught and showing that. And so Esther's like, what's going on? So she sends a servant out to Mordecai to find out what's going on with him. So this is the verse. Mordecai told him, the servant, everything that happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, that's where they were, to show to Esther and explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, all the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death, unless the king extends the gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do you not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape? For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows that you've come to your royal position for such a time as this? It's one of the most famous verses in Esther and the one that I want to look at. And who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this? Now, there's a idea that the author, you know, I said that the word God isn't mentioned in the book of Esther at all. And there's a kind of theory or an idea that the author did that on purpose as a technique so that the reader is invited or encouraged to find God's activity within the story. And I love that idea of us being invited to look for God's activity. Is that something I would love us to have a little bit of space in a minute to do? What is God's activity in your life right now? So it says it says for such a time as this. So what is God's activity where you are? Maybe with your job, in your school, at your university, with your neighbours, with your friends, with your family, maybe a sports club or a book club or an online community. What is it that God's doing with you in this place right now? Now, I want to kind of have a caveat here and just say, I think sometimes this verse can be used for people to feel like they have to stay in a really difficult situation. And I don't think that's the case. I don't think that God is doing that and saying, well, because God says I'm here for such time as this. But we are here where we are right in this moment. That might be different tomorrow, or we might get a different job next week, or things like that. But I just wanted to add that in, that actually we can look at this verse as the right now of where we are. So I am a primary school teacher, and my first job, I did a bit of supply, and then I got a job in a school where I was doing like little group teaching or teaching classes for just a day or half a day around the school. It was really hard work. It was a hard role to do. I was a brand new teacher. The behaviour was really tricky and I really struggled with the job. And it got to the end of the year and I was a bit broken and the job got re-advertised and I just stayed silent. I didn't say anything. I just didn't apply for the job and just left. And over that summer, I went to a summer Christian festival. And I remember there was a song that was sung at the time about God breaking my heart for the things that break yours. And I remember being really sad in that moment that it hadn't worked out at that school. And just feeling really like, oh, there are children there and families there that need to see what love is. And, you know, the light that could be shown in that place. And just being really sad it hadn't worked out. But knowing that that was just not a good place for me. And then about a week, 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from the school secretary. And unfortunately, a teacher was unable to return in September. And so they were like, could you please come and teach just for a week, for 2 weeks until we find someone else? And I went and I taught her class for a week and 2 weeks. And then ended up staying for 5 more years. And it was totally different because actually that was the place that I was meant to be at that point. But it wasn't in the summer. So it's just interesting seeing what God was doing there. So I wonder what God has for you right now. So I've been thinking over this Christmas break, partly preparing this, partly just listening to some podcasts that I was enjoying. And there was one that I was listening to about creating culture. And it was brilliant. I was like, yes, this is amazing how you can create culture in a workplace or in your family, that sort of thing. And I was really inspired. And then it said, and culture is created by leaders. And I was like, oh, I'm not a leader in my school. I'm not like official leader. I can't really create that culture. And then it hit me. I think God was kind of going, yeah, but you're a leader in your sphere. And so I was like, oh, actually, I can take these things and I can create culture in my classroom. And so for me, that's something that, there's other places as well in my life I can create culture. But for me, that was what really hit me. I'm like, maybe that's my for such a time as this, is for the children who are in my class at the moment and the culture that I can help create with them. So I wonder what God is calling to you to where you are right now. And we're going to have a bit of reflection time where Joel's going to kind of come up and just play a little bit of instrumental music for us. There are some bits of paper and pens. If you want to get up and move around and warm up a bit, you can get a paper and pen and maybe write some things down. If you just want to go and get a donut, that is absolutely fine. I want this to be really relaxed. But just spending a bit of time, God, where's the activity? Where's your fingerprint in my life at the moment? What are you calling me for such a time as this? Has he called you to change the culture in an area of your life? Has he called you to speak the truth? To set something up? To stand up for something? To show grace? To support? To encourage? To love? Or to lead? So just have a bit of time now. Just talk to God. Have a think. Grab a bit of paper. Write something down.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hope I get a bit of time just to reflect as you enter 2026. Like, what is God's activity in your life? What's he calling to you for such a time as this? Now, the next part of Esther, just the next couple of verses, Esther 4, verse 15 to 17, just hit me when I read this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day, and I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. And though for some people, the thing that you might be called to is to stand up to something, and it might be difficult and tough. And I thought it's really interesting that she said she gathered people around her and said, pray and fast for me. And so my question is, I wonder who it is around you that you're asking to pray for you, to support you. And I know loads of people here are really good at this, at meeting in triplets, at messaging people, small groups. But I find it slightly awkward sometimes. If I'm sat with someone, you know, I can say, can you pray for this difficult situation that's happening? Or can you pray for like something specific? But to turn to someone and say, I think God's called me for such a time as this, for this, can you pray for me for that? Can sometimes feel a bit awkward. So I know really this is me challenging myself to say, actually, who am I talking to about that? And who am I asking them to pray for me and to bring it to God with me? Now, I'm going to leave the rest of the story for you to go and read if you haven't before, or reread. It's a great story. Esther does approach King Xerxes. She goes towards him. And then you can find out what happens next. It gets a bit gruesome, but it is a really good story. But I wanted to end on this last verse because Esther approaches Xerxes' throne and she has to wait for him to hold out the gold scepter as to whether he'll let her speak to him and to be able to bring what's on her heart to him. But in Hebrews, in the New Testament, Hebrews 4, verse 16, it says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So with all the things that we thought about this morning and things that are going on in our lives, we get to go to the throne, not like Esther did, wondering whether she's going to perish or not, but we get to approach God's throne with confidence. We get to come to him and talk to him about what's on our heart, ask him what he's calling us to. Ask him for help. So I wanted to leave us with that verse, knowing that we can approach God's throne with confidence. And Joel and Juliet, I think, are going to come up, or someone's going to come up. We're going to spend a bit of time. We've got a song called Everything, about God being in our everything. That'd be great. I've asked them if they can sing this over us as we respond to what God's doing and saying. So I think if we could all stand, that'd be great. And I'm just going to pray. I'll just wait a bit. See what he does. Lord, I want to thank you, God, as we come into 2026, that you are with us, that your fingerprint is over our lives, your presence. Just what Juliet was saying earlier on, that we want to enter 2026 with you. I thank you for your activity in our lives. Thank you for what you're doing. And we want to walk hand in hand with you. And Lord, I thank you so much that we can come to your throne, come to you without any fear. We can come with confidence. You while John and Juliet are singing this over us to pray with people. You might just spend some time just in God's presence on your own, but if you want to pray with someone, please turn to someone around or come to the front. Kyle and I can sort out. We can either pray for you or ask someone else to. I really encourage you to respond to God at the beginning of this new year.